Everyone is searching for answers. Everyone is searching for answers. Who am I? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? What is going to happen to me? Do I have a special destiny? These and many more questions haunt our thoughts, and many of the answers can be found in the secret behind the day of your birth. Your birthday identifies you as one of the 52 cards in the deck, which in turn reveals many things about you and your life. Stay tuned today as we explore your destiny with me, Robert Lee Kemp. This might be your date with destiny.
Good evening, everybody. This is Robert Lee Kemp coming to you live from beautiful California. I've been telling people lately how much I really enjoy the weather here, especially because I don't really like it that it doesn't rain here, frankly, but I love it how it gets cool every night. It's just wonderful, and the morning is so nice, and I like that snuggly kind of weather. So in the morning here, it's been like around 60. This is pretty good for a daytime high of around 90. It's a pretty good difference in temperature. Today is August 13th, 2007, and today is a King of Clubs Day. What's really interesting about today is that it's not just a King of Clubs, it's a Leo King of Clubs. And Leo is a kingly sign already to begin with, so people born today have an additional dose of King energy. It's almost too much sometimes of King energy. So, you know, being a King of Clubs doesn't necessarily mean you'll be really a great leader or being a king. It means that leadership and responsibility are your issues in life, are the things that you're working on in life. That's what it actually indicates. But there are, you know, there have been some great leaders and people. And King of Clubs is one of the most prolific cards in the deck. There's one birthday of the King of Clubs every single month. So you'll find a lot of them around. And King of Clubs are found in some of the most highest places. And you'll find there'll be incredible artists, musicians, leaders, statesmen. So like born today, for example, we have Alfred Hitchcock. We have Danny Bonaducci, who I consider kind of a little bit of a not-so-great king myself. We have an opera singer named Kathleen Battle. We have, who else we have here? Debbie Mazar, who's an actress. Ben Hogan, a golf player. Don Ho. And Dan Fogelberg. There's a few others, too, but those are the ones that stand out. Quinn Cummings, an actor. So, people born today have a lot of leadership potential, but it doesn't mean. Like, I knew a girl once, her boyfriend was a King of Clubs, and she wanted him to really stand up and take responsibility and be the man, but he really wasn't quite ready, and he was very irresponsible, and he was actually born on August 13th, so it's very interesting. Today is his birthday as well. I don't remember his name. It's interesting that a lot of people who are Leos will have the name Leo. You'll find this to be true if you scope around and check out people's names. So I am told that all the lines are open tonight. So we're going to have, it should be easy to call in. So that's the report. The report is that there's no problems with any of the lines. So feel free to call in. We are going to have this talk for a few minutes tonight, and then sometime around the top of the hour, we're going to open up the phone lines. They're already open, but we're going to start taking calls from people. I think there's already one or two people on hold for calls. There are three lines. If you're on the BBS radio website, there are three lines listed there. And there's a Canadian toll-free line, which you can also use. Which actually ends up being one of the other lines, but it has a different access number. So if you're not successful getting in on one line, you might want to try the other ones if you're really interested in talking to me, perhaps having a reading. For those who are in the California area, this coming weekend, we're having our advanced card seminar. Now, people have the mistaken impression that you have to be an advanced card student to come to this class. I just want to clarify that. That's not true. You come to this class to learn to be an advanced card student, but all you have to have is a basic knowledge of the books to be able to come and participate in the class this weekend. We still have just a couple of slots open. So if you're interested, you can email me or go to my website. There's an announcement there and a place where you can register online and reserve a spot. We're only going to have a maximum of 15 people because I don't want to have it. I want to be able to give each person a lot of personal attention if it's necessary. Okay? Now, we're going to learn the ins and outs of the cards. We're going to learn where the system really came from. And I'm actually going to show each person in the class how they can take a deck of cards, and with just a deck of cards and with understanding one method, they'll be able to generate the entire system with that deck of cards. That's what we're going to learn. That's what I'm going to teach this weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's 1 to 5 on Saturday, and then Sunday from 10 to 2. It's 2 days. So you'll have to spend the night if you're having to travel to come here. Okay, that brings us to our topic tonight, which is fear versus love. I had a client recently. She was married, been married for a while, like over 8 years, and considered herself happily married, but she all of a sudden developed an interest in another man. Now, this woman is actually one of the birthdays that was very marriageable. I won't tell you her exact birthday, but her ruling card was, or is, the Two of Clubs. And, you know, Two of Clubs are very marriageable people. So she was in a quandary about this, and as we got into the conversation, you know, about her marriage, and, you know, it's clear to me, like, if a person is in a relationship, and this is a very marriageable person, not a person usually prone to look outside the relationship, there's something going on there, you know. What is the underlying theme here? Like, why would she be looking or even talking or entertaining the thought of being with another guy when she's apparently happily married? But really, if somebody's doing that, it's obvious that there is something missing for them, missing in the relationship. So, you know, as I talked to her, she realized that, yeah, really, there's a lot missing in her marriage. And even though she's quote-unquote happily married, it's not the relationship that she really wanted. What was missing was a lot of things, you know, compatibility in certain areas, ability to communicate, mutual interest in self-discovery and self-growth, willingness to openly communicate, romance. There was just a long list of things that were actually missing, which is usually when a person starts even thinking about being with somebody outside the relationship, usually there's something big really missing. Anyway, so as we talked more and more, I sort of discovered with her that she has this pattern, and it's interesting that she married men that were always moon to her. And one of the interesting aspects of when somebody's moon to you in the card system, they're your moon card, is that it always is easier for you as the sun card to walk away from the relationship should you break up. So it's a technique used by people, I found. This is not the only reason it happens, but one of the ways it often happens is a person will marry somebody who's moon to them because they're afraid of how much it would hurt if the other person left them. So they'll make sure they're with somebody that it's fairly easy to leave. Interesting, right? So what it shows is an underlying fear of abandonment. And as we talked, it became apparent this was her third marriage, and she had done this 3 times. She'd always picked men that she really wasn't that totally in love with, and didn't really care that much for, but she picked him out of security and also out of knowing that they would never leave her, or if they did, it wouldn't hurt that much. And so she had never had a really great relationship, and it was all based in the underlying fear of being hurt or abandoned. It's interesting, you know. The way this kind of fear, I like this, this is not just one of many fears that we can have in life, but the way that the fear like this can undermine everything in our life. And, you know, the more and more I talk to my client, the more I realize, and she realizes, you know, she's in kind of a self-made prison. She's not happy, but she's got security. Well, you know, jail is like that. Being in prison is kind of like that. You're not happy, but you're safe. You got four walls, you got three square meals a day or whatever. You're provided for. You're not really happy. You're not able to really express yourself the way you'd like to, but you got security. So it all comes down to, really, in our life, how are we going to live our life? Are we going to live it, our life, based on security, which is connected to fear, or are we going to live it based on what we really love to do in life? And all of us are guilty to this to some extent. I mean, everybody. You might think that you don't have fear, or that people you know don't have fear, but there is nobody that I've ever met who doesn't have fear. It's not the fear that people have that separates them, that distinguishes them. It's not the fear that defines them. It's what they do with that fear, what they do with it, and how they live their life with that fear that really defines who they are in their life, what kind of life they're going to have. I consider myself, for example, to be one of the most fearful people I ever met. I'm a Cancer sun sign, and Cancer is a sign of fear. If you're a male Cancer, it's kind of embarrassing because a male doesn't want to appear to be so fearful, which can be translated as weak. But in fact, I am. I'm very, very fearful. Little things will set me off. If you're a Cancer, you're worried about your food, you're worried about money, you're worried about relationships. It's like all those security things are piled up. And I had the same pattern as this woman that I had read for recently, where I would marry people that I really wasn't in love with. It was safe. And I would always get bored with the person and leave. And that's exactly what this client did. You get bored because you're not with somebody that you really, really wanted to be with in the first place. After a few years of security, the relationship feels like a prison and you want to get out. So this is just one way, one fear that you can have. But there are so many. There's fear of poverty. How many people do you know, and maybe you're one included, who's working a job they don't like because it brings them some money? But really not that much money, not like so much money that they're really prosperous, but just enough to get by and to scrape by. How many people do you know who picked a job that makes money? I mean, I had friends I remember when I was just getting out of high school. You know, I had a bunch of friends, and we would play music, and we would party together. And I had a couple of my friends who said, you know, I want to join the Army. And I said, well, why do you want to join the Army? He says, because it's a steady job. And I thought, you know, and at that time, they were sending people to Vietnam who were in the Army. And I thought, wow, man, that's pretty bad. I mean, that is like a decision that's going to definitely change your life. And it was based in the fear and the belief that they couldn't actually make any money or sustain themselves on their own. You know? So we have this choice in life, you see. You can have fear, but you don't have to let that fear be your deciding factor. If you do, you're going to end up in more situations of more poverty, more unhappiness, and getting less of what you want in life. I guarantee it. It's because that's what's underneath. The other thing is about the mind. See, our minds are really good, and we're a very mental society. We grow up learning that we get by in life, and we are successful or failure by the virtue of how smart we are. how intelligent we are. And the intelligent people are the ones that we always say, oh, yeah, that person's really smart. That person's really, really, really super sharp. And those are the people that are out there making it. And you go, wow, how smart that person is. And you get all kinds of, you know, kudos for being intelligent and so forth. No one ever talks about being able to feel. That's not a quality anyone cares about. They just care about being smart. So we use our mind for everything, every problem that comes up. And when we get afraid of something, like if you have a fear, like I do, of abandonment, or if you have a fear of not having enough money, poverty consciousness, or other fears of like sickness or something, as soon as that fear comes in, it actually bends the mind. The mind is no longer a pure instrument that can think logically. It's being influenced by an emotion. And the mind in that state cannot think clearly. When we're afraid, we make bad deductions. I mean, I've seen people's charts. There's a lot of people who have their moon, which is the emotions, and the mercury, which is the mind. They have them connected astrologically. And for those people, it's even worse because every time they get emotional in any way, not just fearful, but upset, any kind of emotion, their logical mind is completely gone. And everything they see is what they call, we call subjective. It's called subjective thinking. We're thinking from our emotions. And that kind of thinking is always, it's like a computer that has a virus in it. It's like trying to get logic out of a computer that's all polluted with some virus. You cannot expect your mind to come up with a solution. But here's the trick. The catch-22 is we're taught to figure everything out. When we're afraid, we immediately start thinking, what can I do to fix my problem? What is the answer? You know, I have people come to me for readings. They're like, what's the answer? What? Tell me what to do. You know, they like wanting the answer. Nobody wants to hang out and be afraid. No one wants to feel what they're feeling. And we're all afraid. And we run away from our feelings, and we run into our thoughts, and we go into our mind, and we medicate ourselves, or we do something to escape from the feeling. But most of us escape into our mind into trying to figure it out. And now we have a mind that's influenced by fear. It's not logical. It can't make good choices, and every time we come up with a solution with that fearful mind, we end up in a worse place than we were before. You know, it's like, a person who's in a bad relationship, and they're trying to look for another relationship to jump into, like a lifeboat, because they don't like this one, but they don't want to be alone. So they pick somebody else who's just as bad. Because they can't really, until a person can be like okay on their own, they're going to always pick the wrong person when they go into a relationship because of the neediness that they're not addressing inside themselves. So this is the thing about fear and love, see? When we're coming from love, when we feel safe, our mind works beautifully. When we're feeling safe and loved, when we're feeling whole inside, we see things clearly. A person who doesn't have poverty consciousness, a person who's got a really strong sense of prosperity, can look at things that come in the mail and on TV and realize a bad deal when they see it. A person who's poverty-oriented and they see the word free on the TV or on the magazine, they really think they think they're going to get something for nothing, and they don't see the big picture because their mind is influenced by their own sense of uncertainty around money. You know, I have a really good friend, and he got involved in one of these subprime loans. I couldn't believe it when he told me what the loan was. The loan actually causes his mortgage, the amount he owes, to go up every month. And somehow he thought this was a good idea. And I mean, I would never do that. It doesn't make any sense, but to a person who's in poverty consciousness, that will make sense. So it's each of our responsibility to realize when we're afraid, first of all. You know, most of us don't even know when we're feeling love or when we're feeling afraid. We have become so mental that we've become disconnected from what we're feeling. And our feelings tell us what's going on, you know. But they tell us our connectedness to ourself and to the universe. People that are very mental don't even know if they're afraid or not. They're just doing what seems logical. They're disconnected from the underlying feeling that is actually generating all the some of the thoughts. So if they're threatened, they may not even know they're threatened. If you don't know you're afraid, you got a long way to go. You can't come from love because you don't even know when that is. You wouldn't know. So it just depends. You know, life is all a progression of awareness. We're all here to grow in awareness of ourselves. Just the realization, for example, that, hey, look, I'm really afraid. That can be a life-transforming realization for some people to just realize how fearful they are or how much their life has been run by fear. If we can learn to face our fears, and face by facing them, I mean, first of all, we have to acknowledge them. Yes, I'm afraid. Yes, this scares me. And when I'm afraid, I do this and I do that, and it always backfires. Like, you know, anger, all anger comes from fear. All anger. If anybody's angry at anything, underneath that is a fear. That is a law of nature. You can't change it. Anger is just fear put into trying to fix it by attacking something outside of ourselves. And it's also, anger can be considered an unwillingness to feel the fear. Oh, I can't show fear. Anger is okay, but fear is not okay. So we'll get angry and we'll hurt somebody or we'll hurt ourselves. Right? But if somebody can really face and acknowledge their fear, and also the behaviors that come from that fear. There's a zillion negative behaviors that come, that people do, that we all do when we're afraid. We all have our own little list of them. They're all harmful to somebody, usually ourselves and people we love. If we can become aware of those, and then if we can learn some way to do, something to do with that fear that is not trying to fix the situation by running off into our mind, but learn how to be with the fear, we can have a transformative experience. I have learned, and this came mostly through the help of my best friend, Joseph, I have learned that I can be with my fear now, whatever it is, and my biggest one is abandonment. That's my number one biggest one. And I can be with that when I feel afraid. And I don't have to go out and try to make something happen. I don't have to go try to change anybody when it comes up. I don't have to get angry. I don't have to get mad. I can now be with that fear, and it absolutely dissolves within a few minutes. And after it's gone, when it goes away, it's like it never existed. And all the need that my mind had to figure out an idea just melts away because the fear is now gone. And the fear is gone because I accepted it. I allowed it to be experienced. Fear only wants to be, it's just an experience. It's just another life experience. And it's part of what life is all about. And if we just let ourselves experience it, it's like any other feeling, it just passes through us. That's the thing that people don't know about fear, that are just running around trying to avoid it at all costs. And by doing that, by me managing my fear and not acting on it, by being with my fear and not running out and trying to change something in my world when I'm afraid, okay, by doing that instead of what I used to do, which was always trying to manipulate people, get angry, try this, try that, I now have a life that's way more peaceful, and I don't have a lot of fearful times. I mean, the fear comes up, I be with it. I take time to be with it. It goes away, and I'm back to my normal self. And now I can live my life. Now, everybody's got some fears that are much more intense than others. You might have a particular area where you really get set off, and it's harder. I mean, I have my areas where it's the hardest. Other ones are fairly easy to get through. Everyone's different. Your success formula will be your own. It'll be specific to you. Whatever your particular fears are and how you deal with them. But if you don't stop this process of trying to change the external world every time you're afraid, You're just, your life is going to be a repeating pattern of misery. It's just a repeating pattern of misery. That's all that can happen when we keep operating. We have to get back to the love. And the way that I get back to the love is by being with the fear. I love the fear. I love the fear. I'm not pushing it away anymore. I'm not trying not to be afraid anymore. I'm okay if I'm afraid. It's okay with me to be afraid. I still love myself when I'm afraid. And that creates love. And from love, everything looks different. The whole world becomes magical when we're in love with life, when we're loving ourselves and all the parts of ourselves. I could say more about the fearful parts of ourselves, but we're kind of running out of time for the talk tonight. But there's more to it because we have little personalities inside of us, you know, and these are the parts that get afraid. So take a look at what your fears are and see the pattern that your life has been. And then see if you can stop trying to change things when you get afraid and just be with it and watch the magic happen. Okay. That concludes our conversation tonight. I don't know how many people are still waiting, but if Seth will put them up on the board, I'll know who they are. And we're going to take a short break right now. I'd like to play one of the songs off my latest CD. And Seth, if you could play the Krishna Lullaby, I'd appreciate that. And then we'll be right back after the song and taking calls from you. If you have questions, I've got the answers. Be right back.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp. It's 8 o'clock in California. It must be 11 o'clock p.m. on the East Coast. Getting kind of late out there. We have somebody on one of the lines. Her name is Susan. Are you there, Susan?
Yes, I am.
And you're born December 22nd, 1958. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And what can I do for you this evening?
Well, your topic is really relevant to me. I'm dating two different guys and having trouble deciding between them, and I think it's really based on fear.
Mm. Yeah, so are you married, or are either one of these guys married?
No, we're all single.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you have the same exact thing as the client I was talking about. You know, maybe. I mean, how long have you had two boyfriends?
Well, I met them both about a month apart from each other, and they each know that I'm dating other people.
Okay. And how do they feel about it?
Well, the one I really like is pretty ambivalent, and the one that is kind of always a question mark in my mind is mad at me right now.
Uh-huh. So is the one that's mad at you really want to be with you and the other one doesn't?
The other one is slower on the uptake. He's thinking things through. He's recently divorced, and so am I.
Uh-huh.
And we both have kids. And mm-hmm. The other one has never been married and is really pushy about, you know, wanting to place himself in my life. And I'm just not sure about that.
Well, you know, one thing I can tell you is that love is never in a hurry. And
yeah.
Real love is never pushy.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Yeah.
I'm not judging anybody here. But whenever, in my experience, whenever somebody is like in a hurry in a relationship, that's always a sign of a fear.
Yeah.
Underneath. Okay. But, you know, I mean, I don't see anything wrong with dating multiple people. A lot of people go through a period when they need to date more than one person to just kind of get to know themselves better.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah, I do.
And I don't know if that's what's true for you, but, you know, it might be true.
Yeah, it feels that way. And, yeah, you know, I'm very, very attracted to one of them.
The one who's not really sure.
Well, he's just taking things slowly, and it's a very nice feeling. But yet, he's definitely got lots of other people that are interested in him. I know that.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, it's interesting how we usually like what we can't have the most.
I know.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And all the books on how to pick up women say, you got to treat them a little mean.
Yeah.
You can't be nice to them.
Well,
if you do, they won't like you.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I think there's some people really messed up out there, but he's a nice person. There's nothing mean about him. And I think
he has
so many people interested.
What's his birthday?
It's 5/3/67.
So this guy's a three of spades.
Yeah,
well, there's a good chance he'll never marry again.
That's what he says.
Well, then you better be listening.
Well, and I don't know that I'll ever marry again.
Yeah, okay. Well, if you're okay with that. I mean, it's card-wise, you guys are very connected. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, that is for sure. And as long as you're okay with not having a commitment and him having a lot of women in his life, as long as you're okay with him having sex with other people besides you, hey, what's no problem?
Yeah, we Capricorns don't like that very much, though.
I don't think very many women would really like that.
Yeah.
You know? Because
you're right.
It goes against the nature of a woman to have a man who's unfaithful.
Yeah.
A three of spades They're just so romantically driven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they might get married once, but once they realize what it's, marriage is all about, they usually, that's not really what they usually want anymore.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're going to have to find this out on your own. But it is interesting that you're most attracted to the one who's probably the least available.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a pattern.
And what that tells me is that you're afraid to go into a real relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That you're picking guys. So there's a fear you have to look at, I think.
Yeah.
Why are you afraid to be in a committed relationship? I could probably tell you why. Based on your card, you probably got really hurt before, and you're afraid to get hurt.
Yeah.
But see, out of your fear of being hurt again, you're picking men that won't go there, and you're acting like you really want to be with them, and it's all a big lie to yourself. Because you're picking, you're like making it up that you want to be with these guys who are not interested in what you're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
See, you really do want fulfillment in love.
Yeah.
You just need somebody else to pick your boyfriends.
Okay, well, I'll give you that job.
Well, there's a lot of good people out there, but, you know, you got to, like, you know, you're a Nine of Hearts, and Nine of Hearts people, they've got some really big thing to let go of about relationship in this lifetime. You know, some really big pattern there that has to be really looked at and just released
mm-hmm.
in order to have to find happiness.
Yeah, abandonment thing. It's the same thing, I think, as you were talking about.
You know, so many of us have abandonment issues. It's okay that we have that fear. But like I said in the talk, if you let that fear make your choices, you'll always be unhappy.
Yeah.
I'd like to see you happy.
Me too.
I think there's another relationship coming in soon for you.
Oh, good. Me too. I was hoping you'd say that.
Yeah, after September 9th.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
You should clear the way, Susan.
All right. I think I will.
You know, clear out all this stuff that you really don't want.
Mm-hmm.
Make room for somebody good and watch the magic happen.
Okay, good advice.
You know? Hey, it won't cost you much to try the experiment. I'm sure these guys will always come back if you let them.
Yeah, it's true. It is true.
So, but just say, listen, I got really clear that, you know, you're not really the person I'm really looking for right now. And I like you and all, but I need to go ahead and find the person I really want to be with.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And I don't think you're going to have to wait very long.
Okay.
So isn't that nice news?
Yeah, that is nice because, you know, Capricorns are very impatient, too.
They can be. It's not necessarily a Capricorn thing. Just certain people, you know, are
impatient
than others. But, okay, well, thank you for calling, Susan. It's great talking to you.
Thank you.
And give us a call after you meet this new person. Let us know what happened.
I will. Thanks again.
All right. Take care.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to, instead of taking a break, we're going to go right ahead and talk to Pat, from Virginia, because she's up really late. And let's get her on the line if she's there. Can you get her on, Seth?
Hello?
Hi, is this Pat?
Yes, it is, Robert. I'm so happy to speak with you. I received your newsletter, and I bought your book, and so I've really studied the cards hard and long.
Excellent.
So I'm real happy to speak with you.
Well, it's nice to talk to you, too. So what can I do for you this evening?
Well, I live in Virginia right now, and I've just retired. I'm 65, and I have two children in Colorado. And I guess my question is, should I move there? I really want to, but I'm afraid to.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, What do you, when you're feeling really at peace and safe, how does the thought of moving out there sound to you?
It sounds fine. I've been divorced for 12 years, and I don't know. I just think that it would be fine if I were closer to my children.
Yeah. And I think you'll meet somebody, too, once you get there.
That was my next question. What was my outlook for happiness?
Well,
you
have a lover's influence coming in your next period, which begins August 28th. That's soon.
Yes. Oh, that's my next question. I was thinking about waiting about 8 months before I move.
Mm-hmm.
Does it matter if I wait?
Not necessarily. You have three good times to move this year. You can move right now, or you can move in October, November, or you can move in February and March. You pick one. They're all good times
okay.
to move for you. Because you have good fives, and they're all good periods. You got the Venus period now, you got the Jupiter period, and the Uranus period. So you can pick either one of those. Don't put it off too long, though.
Tell me why.
Well, because it's an opportunity, and you want to take it while it's there. You're thinking about it. It's showing up. Your kids want it. It feels right. The only thing that's stopping you is your fear of the unknown.
Amen.
So this is an opportunity for you to do something for love and not for fear.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you that it'll be a wonderful move, especially if you move in the November, October-November period. It will be very easy, it'll be fun, and you'll be glad you did it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
I committed myself to do something in this area until December the 3rd, so I can't move until December the 3rd, so I've got to do it either February or March. I committed myself.
Well,
but
you
I guess
move on
my
December the 4th.
February, oh. You mean just move
around
Christmas?
Your Saturn period doesn't begin until December the 10th.
Uh-huh.
I advise you to move in your Jupiter period if at all possible. You have such wonderful cards. And you want
October
this to be
October or November?
This is an important thing for you. Okay? So you
yes.
want to give it the, you want to give it more priority than anything else in your life right now. It's more important than anything else. Do you understand?
Yes.
So you want to give it the best period possible, and that's your Jupiter period.
Hmm.
It's all going to work out either way you go. But that's my recommendation.
Okay.
And if you make the plan for that, everything will fall into place. Guaranteed.
Thank you. What about, I know Three of Diamonds is the hardest life path, but I was born in May, so I've got, I think it's the 7 as the other card.
7 of Hearts, yeah.
7 of Hearts. And if you have the 7 of Hearts, does it help the 3 of Diamonds? Because I know the 3 of Diamonds is a tough one.
Well, it's not the only tough one. It's not the toughest. Queen of Diamonds,
rough.
My card, is also incredibly hard. But see, it's only
uh-huh.
hard because of our accumulated negative karma. You can transcend all that if you work on yourself. That's the
and
way.
I have.
You turn
I
to
have.
The spiritual and you find answers. And you can eventually transcend all your negative karma.
Amen.
Through spiritual awareness. So you're on the right path. Just continue what you're doing.
Okay, but you're saying October or November to move as opposed to waiting.
You know, you
February
have the book.
March.
You have the book. Pat?
Yes, I do.
And you know how to look up the dates of your Jupiter period?
I do.
That's when you need to move. You make it work.
Okay.
Go make
Thank
it work.
Thank you so much.
It's not a problem.
And you think that moving out of Virginia and moving to Colorado would be, I would find happiness in Colorado. and that's important to me.
You're going to find everything you want.
Wow.
And you need to get going with
Thank
it
you.
Soon. You need to get moving now. Start telling everybody, I'm leaving, folks. I'm out of here
wow.
in November or whatever it is. Let everybody know
wow.
and get going. Burn your bridges.
Okay. Thank you for that.
It's like you got. It's like you're going. To, you're a kid going to Disneyland. All right. What can I say?
Yeah.
How much better can it
yeah.
be?
Yeah.
You got to let it be good. Nobody can
yeah.
make it be good. You have to let it be good. It's you got every. You got all the influences possible to make it wonderful, but it's up to you.
Wow.
So I appreciate
agree
your
too.
Calling, Pat.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
you're very
you
welcome.
Taking my call. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good
have
night,
a nice
now.
Evening, and thanks for calling.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. We're going to have a short break. We have two people on, I don't know which lines, but one is on line three. We have one line open, the one that Pat was on. We're going to play a song called Peace-Filled Day. This is not on my CD, but it's one that I composed. And when we come back from that, we're going to talk to Lisa from Ventura, California. Welcome back, everybody. I hope you're having a pleasant evening. It's really peaceful and beautiful here as the sun sets in California. Hey, how many of you stayed up either Saturday night or Sunday night or last night and watched the meteor showers that were happening? Yeah, we stayed up last night, and we live sort of in the suburbs, so there's a lot of city light, but even so, we saw 6 shooting stars in a short period of time. And, you know, they say that they continue for a couple of days, so if you missed it, you can still go out tonight, especially if you go out, you know, after 11 o'clock or so when it's real nice and dark, and you'll see shooting stars, I guarantee it. They're still happening tonight. And there's no moon now, so it's a really good time to do it. Okay, so we have a couple people waiting patiently. I have Lisa first, calling from Ventura, California. Can you put Lisa on? Hello? Hello? I'm looking for Lisa, but, oh, okay, Lisa's no longer with us. Okay, so how about Lynn? So line 3 is now open. I'm line 2 and line 1. How about Lynn? Is Lynn still with us? Hello?
Hi, Robert. It's Lisa.
Oh, Lisa. What happened?
I accidentally hung up right before I got to talk to you, but I'm so glad I get to talk to you. I learned the cards from Jai in Ojai, and
oh,
I love your
okay.
book.
Great. Nice to talk to you. Can you turn your phone up a little bit?
That's what I was actually trying to do because I could barely hear you, too, when I hung up on myself. Hang on.
Okay. Well, that actually sounds a little bit better. Maybe Seth is adjusting this.
How's that? Is that better?
Yeah, it's a little better. So,
okay.
So you're a student of the cards.
Yes.
A 4 of Diamonds, born September 7th,
yep.
1962.
So I'm in my Neptune period.
Yes.
And I've got a Jack of Diamonds there, but I have a 9 of Spades for my planetary ruler card, the 2 of Spades.
Right, yeah.
And I was just wondering what I'm working on the 9 and the positive.
Uh-huh,
I wondered
yeah.
if you had any insight on that.
Well, a 9 in Neptune for spiritual people is not something to be concerned about.
Okay.
Because that's such a spiritual number, you know, you could have some kind of a spiritual awakening occur.
Yeah, I've been doing that pretty much all year.
Uh-huh, yeah. Well, that's good. So, you know, just continue with that. And this is your rebirth, your pre-birth year.
Right.
And next year you start your rebirth year. So what's going on in the relationship department?
Well, not much right now.
Uh-huh.
And it hasn't for a while, but I want to have a relationship again. So I feel like I'm more ready for it.
Well, you're going to have 2 boyfriends by this time next year.
Excellent.
Yeah, you're having a scheduling problem.
That'll be good.
Well, let me see when I can fit you in.
Yes. But hopefully I'll be able to settle down with just one at some point.
Yeah, but you may have to have 2 for a while to kind of figure out what you want.
Yeah. How does career look? Anything good? I've been doing the weekly readings, too, by the way, and I got your weekly reading DVD, and also the Science of the Numbers book is great.
Oh, great. Well, good. You're really learning then.
Yeah.
I'm happy to hear that. Well, I mean, this rebirth year is always a blessed year for everybody. Okay.
Good.
And you have a fairly fortunate life path. You know, most of your cards are even-numbered cards. And your Uranus and Neptune cards fall in the crown line, which is the place of recognition and accomplishment. So career should be good.
Great.
Yeah, career should be fine, you know. Things should be good. I think really the theme is going to be more on the love arena for you.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, I think it's going to be more relationship stuff than you anticipate right now.
Great.
Yeah. I mean, you have,
so starting right after my birthday? Or?
Well, you have the Playboy card in Venus, you know.
Woo!
Yeah, with a 5 of hearts. So if you have an opportunity to travel in your Venus period, I would take it.
Okay.
You know, because you'll have a lot of fun, and you're likely to meet somebody there.
Great.
You know when the dates of your Venus period are, right?
Yep.
Good. Well, I can tell you're a high-powered kind of person.
Oh, thanks.
Well, you know, I mean, you seem to be very energetic.
Yes, I'm definitely.
The way you talk and everything. So you got, you obviously have a lot of passion.
Thank you.
See? So, you know, this should be a really fun year for you.
Okay, good. Well, I look forward to learning more and from your books. I just, in fact, I just read more and more all the time, and it's just so amazing. It's just, there's so much to learn, and the way that you explain it, it makes it easy.
Well,
so thank you.
I appreciate you saying that. I hope you really find it useful and that you, you know, get a lifetime of happiness from it, because I still use it.
Yeah, that's great.
Obviously.
Yeah, I think it's great. And every person that I meet, I try to learn their birthday so I can look them up. And
absolutely.
Really learn.
Don't
from
you
that.
Want to know who they are? I mean, we want to know what card they are.
Yeah, exactly.
We want to know where they fit in, you know, like, hey, are you a good witch or a bad witch?
Yeah, exactly.
And how do you connect to me? Are you good for me or bad for me?
Right. You know the ones to watch out for.
And are we going to have great sex or are we going to fight all the time?
Exactly.
Or both.
Exactly. Cool. Well, I'm also working on manifesting as my personality card, the King of Spades.
Okay, well, you won't really... Okay, well, you can try that, but I actually don't use personality cards anymore.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
The birth and ruling card are plenty. You know, your ruling card's the Two of Spades. And you got all the smarts in the world, and that card has a King of Clubs karma card. So you already have a king inside of you.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
You don't need to be a King of Spades when you already have the King of Clubs.
Okay.
That's one of your significators.
Okay, that's cool.
All right, Lisa.
Great. Well, thank you so much, and I enjoy listening, too. So thank
you.
Yeah,
great talking to you, too. Thanks
okay,
for calling.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we have two lines open. All the lines are open except for line three. We're going to take a short break here. We're going to play the song Sri Ram from my new CD, and then we're going to come back and talk to Lynn if she's still on the phone. Lynn, you're born the same year, the same day as my sister, my favorite sister. And we have two lines open, so if you want to get on the show tonight, now's the time to call in during the break and be next after Lynn. Be right back.